This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Both the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and a Phase 1 agreement of a deal between the U.S. and China appears to be slowly edging forward. The Hagstrom Report quotes House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying, "We are within range of a substantially improved agreement for America's workers. Now we need to see our progress in writing from the trade representative for final review." The Trump administration says that U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will be providing a written agreement to Congress this week. Trump is continuing to push House Democrats to bring the agreement up for a vote. House Democrats have insisted that hardworking Americans need more from the USMCA than just the same broken NAFTA with better language but no real enforcement, Pelosi says. It still left American workers exposed to losing their jobs to Mexico. Meanwhile, President Trump says the Phase 1 deal with China is close. At the same time, he also says the U.S. is monitoring the situation in Hong Kong. "We're in the final throes of a very important deal," Trump says. "It's going very well, but at the same time, we want to see things go well in Hong Kong also." Trump's commitments last week just came hours after a phone call between the Chinese Vice Premier, USTR Robert Lighthizer, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. In other news, it was a very happy Thanksgiving for U.S. beef producers. The European Parliament voted last Thursday to approve a plan that grants the U.S. a country-specific share of the European Union's duty-free, high-quality beef quota. The agreement was originally signed back in August. The U.S. Meat Export Federation was pleased to hear of the approval. Approval by the European Parliament keeps this agreement on track to be implemented by early 2020, says USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. That's outstanding news for the U.S. beef industry and our customers in Europe. The lack of capacity in the duty-free quota has been a source of frustration on both sides of the Atlantic, he says, as a U.S.-specific share of the quota will help to make sure that U.S. beef can enter the European market 52 weeks a year without any delays or interruptions. The EU is one of the highest-value destinations in the world for American beef. Consistent access will not only benefit U.S. beef processors and exporters, but also European importers and their clients. U.S. Meat Export Federation says in a release that it thanks the U.S. Trade Representative and the USDA for negotiating the agreement and securing the approval. In other national news, the Federal Reserve Wednesday said the U.S. economy was expanding at a modest pace in October and early November, supported by growing consumer spending. In the latest assessment of business conditions nationwide, the Federal Reserve struck a more upbeat tone than it had in previous reports when it had worried about more trade tension and slower global growth. However, it is still noted that the majority of the Fed's 12 districts were not experiencing growth in manufacturing, which has been hurt by a widening trade war with China. The Fed report, known as the Beige Book, will be used when the federal officials meet in mid-December to set interest rate policies. The wide expectation is that the central bank will leave its benchmark rate unchanged after cutting it at three previous meetings. Those rate cuts, which followed four rate hikes last year, gave the boost to interest rate-sensitive sectors of the economy such as housing and auto sales. There are hopes that the United States and China will soon reach agreements on so-called Phase 1 trade agreements that will keep President Trump from imposing a new round of tariffs on Chinese goods. The U.S. tariffs have provoked retaliation from China, which has hurt American manufacturing and farmers who have seen their markets in China disappear. The Beige Book said that more districts than in the previous report said manufacturing was expanding again, although numbers still remain below half of all districts. Among the responses, the Richmond Federal District said that manufacturing in their region saw a pickup in shipments and new orders but continued to face constraints from tariffs and trade uncertainty. The report found that agricultural conditions in many districts were under strain from adverse weather and low crop prices, in which some cases reflected the loss of Chinese markets for such crops as soybeans. More poor weather added to crop farmers' difficulties, reported by the Chicago Fed. The St. Louis district said its business contracts continue to experience a heightened sense of economic uncertainty, while the Philadelphia district said business contacts there were expressing cautious optimism but continued uncertainty. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, corn growers from across the state gathered in Bloomington last week for the annual meeting of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Jared White has more.
Despite smaller than usual numbers due to the ongoing harvest, an enthusiastic group of corn growers from all corners of Illinois took care of the annual business of ICGA. Executive Director Rodney Weinzerl says that's a testament to the dedication of the group's leadership and members.
We're a little bit down on crowd, but from Bloomington North, we have a lot of leaders and a lot of members and farmers still working on trying to get quite a bit of corn out and even some beans in different areas. So, you know, farming is their life. It's their office. It's their family. It's what they do year round. This has been a really trying year, but they recognize that if they're not going to try and make their life better or their fellow farmers better, then it's hard to do it with decreasing population of farmers and so many people that are unfamiliar with farming that there really has to be a stepped up commitment to do it.
Bill Lee, a farmer from Monunk, Illinois, has been elected president of the organization for the next year. Lee has served on the ICGA board for 6 years, most recently as vice president. He was one of several farmers that left crops in the field to attend and says serving Illinois corn growers has been eye-opening.
When I was presented with the opportunity to be a director, I was skeptical at first because you're thinking, well, do you really accomplish anything? I think it's been one of the better moves that I've ever done with the organization. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with corn growers. It's good people. It's good staff. There's a lot of things we do that are important that you don't see necessarily. I think the influence we have in Washington, D.C. is much more than you would expect. And I think our staff at Illinois Corn Growers here in Bloomington is wonderful. They've increased my knowledge in so many things.
Lee takes the reins of ICGA at a time where several challenges are facing corn growers and agriculture in general. He believes trade, ethanol issues, and infrastructure are all top priorities, but also says legislation ushering in new fuel blends should be in that discussion.
My biggest issue, I think, this year I would like to push harder is the high-octane, low-carbon fuel standard that is being worked upon. This would allow a new fuel standard that would let the automobiles design a new engine generation of engines that would use a higher octane fuel, a higher compression, more efficient, lower greenhouse gas emission, all the things that you want in a new engine. Ethanol is the best source for octane.
Joining Lee in leadership roles are Vice President Randy DeSutter of Woodhull, Treasurer Matt Rush of Fairfield, and Secretary Keith Sanders of Vandalia. A full rundown of the meeting's results can be found at ilcorn.org. I'm Jared White reporting.
Moving on into local ag events from around the area, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their December meeting this week at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. That meeting will be held on Thursday at 7 p.m. Also coming up this weekend, the Montgomery County Extension Office will be holding a pet treat workshop at the County Extension Office in Hillsboro. That'll be held Saturday morning from 9 until 10 for ages 5 to 10 years old. Those children do not need to be in 4-H to attend, and if you need more information or to register, you can call 532-3941 or visit extension.illinois.edu/cjmm/events. And finally, on this Monday morning, don't forget that the Hillsboro FFA chapter is collecting new unwrapped toys for Toys for Tots. You can turn those toys into the Hillsboro High School Ag Building or the main building now through Friday, December 13th. If you need more information, you can contact FFA advisor Noah Gallion at 618-499-8814. And that'll wrap it up for this Monday morning of the WSMI Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, December 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.